18. The Lord has been talking to me in Nehemiah for probably 2 years. And I'm sorry to tell you, you missed the three happy sermons. Now we're down to... Okay. All right, I'll try that. Okay. So, I'm going to give you a little background on this story because it would just take so long to read 13 chapters. But Nehemiah was serving the king Artaxerxes in Persia, in the palace in Shushan, I think it is. And he heard how terrible things were in Jerusalem. And he cried and prayed and waited on God. And the king noticed how he was feeling and asked him about it. And he presented his case so beautifully to the king, he got sent to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. Now, he had enemies in Jerusalem. This man is such an example. He never set a foot wrong. And he prayed about everything. He was just in prayer about every little thing. He even said a quick prayer after fasting and praying, he said a quick prayer before presenting his case to the king. And his enemies were a man named Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and an Arab. And while they were trying to build the wall, these men heckled. They tried to demean them. They tried belittling them and saying they weren't doing a good job. And Nehemiah had the best answer for them. He said in Nehemiah 2:20, "The God of heaven will give us success. His servants will start rebuilding." Are you building anything for God? Start rebuilding. God will be with you. His presence will be with you. Whatever it is in your heart to do for God, just lay it out before Him and start on it. And He'll be with you no matter how your enemies fight you, no matter how they heckle you, no matter how they try to belittle you, God will be with you if you move forward in what He has said to you in your heart to do. But He said, "As for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." And that's the position the enemy is in. He will try to make us think that he has a right to be doing what he's doing. But he has no right. He has been conquered. He has been put in his place. And it's us that don't realize the authority and the power that we have in God. He has empowered us with the power of the blood of Jesus and of what He gave to the church. And the enemy will try to make you think different, but he's a liar. He's just making noise, trying to discourage you, but he is a liar and he has no authority or historic right to you and what is yours. Well, the people had been living without a protective wall. It was broken down. There was piles of rubble everywhere. Their home was missing roofs, walls, rooms. Some had family members gone into slavery that they'd had to give up their family to pay the taxes and to pay their debts. But they built the wall in 52 days, which was really miraculous. It was an amazing job to get done without any power tools or heavy equipment. 52 days. They worked so hard, some of them didn't even take off their clothes at night. They just slept and got up and right back at it in the morning. And the enemy observed their determination and how hard they were working, and they said, "Well, what we'll do, we'll slip in beside them while they're working. They won't even notice us, and we'll kill them." That's how the enemy feels about you. if you're thinking you can give in to the enemy a bit and pacify him and everything will be okay, you're wrong. Because his idea of dealing with you is your death. His purpose, his goal is to see people die unsaved and join him in hell. But we have the restorative work that Jesus did for us. Amen. And we have authority over this guy. Nehemiah got word and he posted a guard. And he said, now we're pretty spread out. So if you hear the trumpet blow, you run to where that noise is coming from and we'll fight him together. Well, they never even had to do that. The enemy was so discouraged in that plan that he never made it. Okay, so now he got rich men to return lands that had been taken for debts. He got them to return people that had become enslaved. Even paid them back some of the money. Now that's a miracle. Get a rich man to turn loose of some possessions. Even if they were human, it considered them possessions. So Nehemiah had been 12 years as governor in Jerusalem, and he returned to the service of King Artaxerxes. And in chapter 13, I want to read verses 4 through 12. And now we finally got to the message. Before this, Eliashib the priest had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah. Can you believe that? And he provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain, offerings, incense, and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine, and oil prescribed for the Levites, singing, and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. He gave him that room, and down in verse 8, a room became rooms. You know, you give the devil a little space, a little corner, a room, next thing you know, it's rooms, and he's taken over everything. So, but while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib, this man was a priest, a high priest, had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly pleased and threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. Now the priest gave this enemy. He was there when Tobiah plotted murder. He was there when Tobiah and the others heckled the people and tried to get them to stop building. He knew what this man had done, and yet he gave him a room in the courts of the temple. Now, sometimes we think that there's something going on in our life, and as long as we keep it distant, it's not going to be a problem. We're going to be okay with it. But the enemy, when he moves in, he moves in. There's a song that Walt and I used to sing. In my heart are corners of a world that's all my own. Places that are only seen by myself and God alone. In the past, when I tried to rule my world, it just seemed to fall apart. So please, Jesus, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's who's supposed to dwell in this temple. But we're letting those sneaky Tobias come in, and we're doing things we hadn't ought to be doing. It might be as simple as criticism or gossip, but if we let him get a hold, if we let him get in there, he'll expand. He'll take up room in those rooms. And do you know just what this little thing, it seems small, to let him have a space out in the courtyards, not in the temple, not near the Holy of Holies, but in the courtyard. And by him having that space in the courtyard, the priests, the Levites, the workers in the temple, Nehemiah had organized and got two choirs going, and the choirs, the people who were in the choirs, the people that cleaned the temple, the ones that put oil in the lamps, the one that trimmed the wicks of the candles, the one that kept the place clean, they all left and went home. Why? Because there was no longer provision for them. There was no longer food. There was no longer wine. There was no longer any wage given to them or a portion of the tithes. They had to go home to support themselves. That's what letting a guy like Tobiah move into the courtyards has done. And if you think we don't pay a price when we let the enemy move into our courtyards, somehow worship isn't going to be the same. You're going to have to push people and kick them a little bit to get them going on a song and to worship God, because that courtroom has been taken over and they can't get free and they can't worship God the way they should because of that little room far away from the temple where someone is living trying to rob you of everything that God has for you. Oh, Nehemiah was incense. No more singing. The temple isn't clean. No more worship. Oh, my God. The worst thing we can lose besides the Word of God in church is worship. Because worship is where we love back on God. He loves us many ways and through many things. But when we love back on Him, that's when our spirit soars. That's when we go into the Holy of Holies. That's where we feel His presence. That's where we are lifted by His anointed. And that's when we are healed. That's when we are delivered, is when we have freedom in worship. If you cut the worship off, the room is empty. There's nothing there till the Word of God. And we need that entering into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. We need that for the sake of our souls. And we need it for the sake of the person that's going to minister. We need to become unified in the church and worship together and enjoy God's Word together. The people were so happy and so thrilled when Nehemiah restored the reading of the Word. Ezra read, and people sat there and cried. They hadn't heard the Word for so long. And sometimes when we leave that enemy in our courtyard, when we have things there that don't belong there, and the things that should be there are gone, we don't even hear the Word. It doesn't soak in. We don't get understanding, because it's a Holy Spirit that gives us understanding, that helps us to know what God is doing, that helps us to be led into the Spirit of God and into the realm of the Spirit so He can move and meet the needs of the people. Nobody's needs were being met. Nobody's needs were being met. Why was the house of God neglected? He said, I called them together and then stationed them at their posts. All Judah brought the tithes, grain, new wine, and oil into the storerooms. And he picked four men. I'm not going to try to say all their names. But he picked four men that were trustworthy. Trustworthy. This guy, Tobiah, he was not trustworthy. Where did that food go? Where did that wine go? Where did that meat go? You would think the priest could put it in another room in the courtyard and let it carry on, but he didn't. He neglected the duty that was his in seeing that the courtyards and the temple and everything was run right. He just let it happen. I don't understand why he just let that happen. But sometimes, boy, the enemy will get in a church and tear the thing all apart, and we'll think, what happened? Why did this happen? Well, he went in and he purified Tobiah's room. That's what Nehemiah thought of Tobiah. The room needed cleansing and purifying after that man stayed in it. Sometimes we've got some Tobias in our courtyard that need cleansing and purified and got out of there. We don't need him in there. We don't need the enemy in our courtyards. We don't need him to be a part of our life. This is warfare. If we don't recognize that it's warfare, certainly the enemy does. He's out there plotting how to kill you. He's out there plotting how to disturb your life. He's out there trying to interfere with your worship, with your service of God. He wants in one of your storerooms in the courtyard so he can devour everything in it, and you won't have it, and you'll be hungry and be starving spiritually right there in the courtyard, right by your temple, right in that, might not be right in your heart and inside you, but it's close enough to you to be able to disrupt your very life and disrupt your very living and disrupt what God has for you. Because this was basically provided by God. Because God commissioned people to tithe on what they had. This was God's commission to them. And so, actually, God was paying these people with what was brought to God. And Tobiah interrupted that. We've got to watch out for him. He want to sneak in. But we've got to stand our ground and say, hey, he was an official in another town. He had to have a home over there. You can't rule a town you don't have a home in. He had to have a home there. And I know he had family because he had someone related to one of the priests, Methusalem or something like that. He had a relative marry into that family. So he had to have family. And yet there he was, staying in the courtyards of the temple and disrupting everyone's life. He couldn't get it from outside the wall. He couldn't stop the work. He couldn't stop the Israelites from rebuilding. He couldn't stop them from going about God's work. He couldn't stop them from refurbishing the temple, and he couldn't stop them from the organization of what was to happen in that temple. What did he do? He moved right into the courtyard. What was that priest thinking? Move him right into the courtyard and disrupt services, worship, cleanliness, just from a room in the courtyard. We need to check the corners of our courtyard, the spaces there, and keep them clean. Keep them purified. Don't let little things get in there. Don't let things happen. You know, take authority over it and keep yourselves for God, because that's where your peace is, your joy, your food, your prosperity, your blessings, your healing. That's where all of it is. And having him in the courtyard can interrupt that. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So one of the ways we show our joy is in worship. When we show the joy of the Lord in worship, I always feel stronger and better after worship and letting the Holy Spirit move through me and sing to the Lord. That's when we love back on Jesus. That's when we love back on him, is when we sing to him and sing our praises. And he loves our songs. Look at all the songs that Holy Spirit has inspired. Look at all the songs that the Word has inspired for us to sing to God. It's important to God. It's important to God that we worship and praise him and lift up his name. And that's our time with him. That's him. It says when two or three are gathered together, he'd be in the midst. So that's when his presence comes in, and his presence renews us, restores us, gives us joy and strength and hope. And we have to be free in that. We've got to be free to worship and hear the word. We do. And if you don't get it in song service and you don't worship and get where you need to be spiritually, a lot of times you miss what's said in the word. You miss what God's trying to tell you in the word. And it's where we come in unity with each other, worshiping and Holy Spirit just moving in the midst. and needs are met, people are lifted, loneliness disappears, heartaches don't seem like heartaches anymore because he's there in this, and the Spirit is lifting us and helping us. And then we get the word and we leave having been renewed, refreshed, and fed. And that's the order. That's the order. God wants worship and word. And they're both important to our life as a Christian. I mean, we shouldn't even just be worshiping just in church. We should be worshiping at home, too. We should be worshiping many times a day. We should be talking to him and having conversations. But those guys in the courtyard, they want to interfere with that. And they want to keep you from doing that. Because that's how we grow in Christ. So I am encouraging each and every one of you to check your courtyard. See if there's somebody there that you just need to say, all right, you get out of here. I'm not having that anymore. And we just need to be open before the Lord and serve him with all of our hearts and give every corner of our life to Jesus. Even the secret places that we try to rule ourselves, because we don't rule ourselves well, in case you haven't noticed. You know. You wonder about these guys in politics that want to rule the public, and then they haven't ruled their own lives very well. They may be rich, but there's always stuff hidden in the courtyard, you know? And sometimes it comes out. But we need to be more aware of our walk with the Lord. He's calling us to holiness. We need to be aware of what we're doing in our lives and where we're going, and be open to the Lord in this day and age with what we're facing and what is going on in the world. Our ear needs to be right where God's mouth is, and let God talk to us about these things and show us what to do and show us how he wants us to behave and act. And you know, sometimes you might be in a store and Spirit will speak to you. Talk to that person. And there might be someone there that really needs a word from God. And God might give you the word. It says to be instant, in season and out of season. And the way we're going to do that is purification and worship and the word. Amen? Well, I think I'm probably too fast, huh? I'm done.
Look, I'm just going to interview you for a minute, or just to stay right here. I want you to tell us. No. I want you to tell. See, Jackie has a lineage of moving in the Spirit. Sharon's back there too. That where they moved in the Spirit. Now, I want to just tell me a story. From your mom's church, when worship went on and you saw manifestations of the Spirit, just like you're talking about tonight.
Okay. Well, there's one that comes to mind really quickly. There's stories back when we weren't born yet of people driving to church, worshiping the Lord all the way with no hands on the wheel. Yep. And the car drove to the church. Yep. An unsaved man in the back seat told the whole story. And when they got to the church and pulled in to the parking lot at the church, a ball of fire fell from heaven and fell on all sides of the roof and fell down into the church. And when they got into the church, people in the church were slain out and praising God. And the man went to the altar.
Come on. Yeah.
And the other story that comes to mind is, and there's so many of them, we were in prayer. Sometimes the prayer meetings lasted till 2, 3 in the morning. And my brother was slain out. And my brother had newly come back to God. And he was slain out and he had a vision. And he was in India, and a little man in India walked down the steps and spoke to my brother how they needed God. And after this the meeting was over, my brother turned to my dad and he said, "Well, old man, someday when you're feeling low, let me tell you what God did with me tonight." And Daddy says, "Oh, you mean the little guy in India on the steps?" And while my brother was slain out in the spirit having the vision, my father saw the vision too. Amen. Amen. So in our church, more recent than that, that Walt and I pastored with our mother, the spirit would move so heavy in the beginning of service. Janine would bring friends from school, and sometimes the presence of the Lord would be so strong, they would cry in the service, "I need to get saved! I need to get saved now!" And they didn't even wait for the end of the service. We had salvation. Amen. Right then, before we ever got into the service, people would come forward and get saved, and then they enjoyed the service a whole lot more after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that enough?
You keep going if you want.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I would get off the school bus, we had a rose arbor at the fence, and you'd go under that rose arbor and on towards the house. And when I would pass through that rose arbor, sometimes there would be an overwhelming presence of God just wash over me. And I thought, oh, Daddy's fasting. Because when Daddy would fast and wait on the Lord, you could feel God's presence in the yard as you came in the yard. And we saw healings. We saw a woman healed of leukemia. We saw a move of God just like we're going to see here in this church.
Amen. Amen.
Only greater, because this is the latter day.
Absolutely.
So get your worship on.
Yeah.
And get your prayer life on. And we're going to see God do miracles and signs and wonders.
Amen.
God has really impressed on my heart. That's what He wants to do in this place. He's trying to stir us all and get us all hungry and get us all ready for what God has, because He is going to do something wonderful if we'll respond. Let's purify. Let's get holy. And let's see what God will do in us.
Absolutely. No. Hallelujah. Was that tremendous or what? Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe that with all of my heart. And we settle for less than what God wants in our lives. And part of that is that we're not... You see, there's a price for the anointing. You have to pay a price for the anointing. You heard her talk about the wonderful things that happen, but I can just imagine that her daddy fasting and praying for hours and hours and hours, feeling nothing but being led by the Spirit and continuing, even when I didn't feel like it, even when I wanted to get up, and even when Lord, I want more, I need more. And it's time for us to clean out those places in our hearts or talk to God, just like we've been talking about on Sunday, that it's His goodness that leads us to repentance. And we're not repenting. We're not even seeing the need for repentance. We're not even asking Him about our hearts. And God's at a place where, listen, people aren't going to be one to the Lord because we argue with them. They're not going to be one to the Lord because we have this great, you know, debate with somebody. In fact, Christians debating just brings confusion, and the world goes, who needs that? Right? What is going to have to happen is the power of God is going to have to be displayed in our midst. And it's available. He's no different. The Bible said that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't know about you, but I've seen many mighty things happen in the Spirit, even in our church and in other places. But I don't really care about what happened yesterday. It's like, Lord, what's going to happen today? Am I done? Have I seen everything I'm going to see? Or, Lord, am I available for Him to use me even at this time? Because He wants to use us. Glory to God. He wants to use us. He wants us to look at this. I've seen it. We've seen it manifest in our midst. But I've seen it where people stop and they say, I don't know what it is about that church, but we need to go there. Was it your grandson? Right? Saw the sign is going by and we need to go to that church. There's something about that church that we need to go to. And he's seen many things in the Spirit, and he's drawn things for us about church building, where we're going to be. And but we need to say that, Lord, that shouldn't be the exception. We need to move into a place where that's the rule. And watch this. Many revivals have been stopped because people get into the flesh. But all revivals have started because they got into the Spirit. Let me say that one more time. I said, many revivals have stopped because people got into the flesh, but all revivals have started because people got into the Spirit. Right? We need to get into the Spirit. Lord, what are you saying? What do you want? What do you want from me? And that's going to cost us putting our flesh down, cleaning out the rooms. Glory to God. That was so good. Cleaning out the rooms of our hearts and saying, Lord, no more. I don't need anybody else. And wait a minute. How did you get here? Right? Lust, how did you get here? Perversion, how did you get here? Bitterness, how did you get here? Unforgiveness, what are you doing in here? But then not just say, well, I guess that's, you know, I'm just a weak little vessel. I guess that's just my lot in life. No, kick them out. And deny them and say, no, not in my house, not in my heart, not in my place. Because I've got a greater mission. Here's something that God has been putting on my heart. And it's so, to me, it's so big. And it's simply this. God, I need to see you bigger. I have this view of you, and I've seen many things that you've done. And Lord, you've sustained us, and you've done all of that. It's awesome. But God, I need to see you bigger than that. Right? I feel like, and I've said this, I was actually chatting with some folks in Uganda, and I said, you know, it feels like for the last 2 years during the pandemic, we've been surviving. And God said, no, it's time to stop surviving and start thriving. Right? Start thriving. And in other words, we're not waiting for, but Lord, we want to move right into what you want. You know what that's going to take for us? For us to be praying in the Spirit. For us to be really meditating on the Word. For allowing the Spirit of God to change us and not be satisfied and not play patty cake with our anger anymore and not play, you know, and say, well, that's okay and this is all right and, you know, a little lust is okay. After all, I'm just a man or using those excuses to even let that be in our lives because the Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit. Come on, are you with me? And so even tonight, you say, well, yeah, that's awesome, and we need to lead the church in that direction. Forget about anybody else tonight. Forget about everybody else tonight. And say, God, this is between me and you. What is it that you want for me? How is it? Come on. If you want to be full of the Spirit of God, you have to clean the house. You have to. What do I mean? What are we allowing? That's such a great analogy, Jack. That is so good. Who have we allowed to move in? We say, well, I haven't allowed anybody to move in. Let me ask you this, and I'm speaking to myself when I'm speaking to you. What TV shows are you watching? What are you listening to? Well, you know, I really like that show, and it's not so bad. Yeah, but it's full of sin. And you say, well, a little sin is okay. After all, you know, I'm just being entertained. God understands. Well, he might understand, but you're not going to see the Spirit of God move in your life when you're allowing that to come in. It's like, okay, come on in. You can stay right here. I'm going to come over. Oh, that was so good. I'm going to come over here on Sunday and worship. Hallelujah. But I don't feel anything anymore. Well, it could just be that you let somebody in your storehouses. And you need to kick them out. Right? And you know, it's interesting in the book of Revelation, and it's something that it's I've meditated on, I've thought about, I've studied, I've prayed, I've looked at commentaries about, I got this one thing against you. You've done everything really good, but I got this one thing against you. You've left your first love. What's that, Lord? What is that? And I think it could be a myriad of things, but I think the reality is you've left the preciousness of your relationship with God and the holiness of being with Him through the blood of Jesus. And the price that you're willing to pay for that. You know, when I got saved, it's not like I had to give my friends up. They gave me up. Because I didn't want the things that I wanted before that they were doing. I didn't need to drink. I didn't need to smoke dope. I didn't need all of those things. I didn't need to cuss. I didn't need to, because I came into the presence of holiness. And I loved Him. And I still love Him. Right? Let's just worship Him for a minute. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King.
Still I will fall.
still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Now I want you to sing this right to him. I have decided to follow you, Jesus. I have decided to follow you, Jesus. I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Now I want you just to be quiet before the Lord for just a minute. If you're at home, just stop doing what you're doing and just relax in His presence for just a minute. Because I believe that anytime the Lord speaks to us, a response is in order. So if the Lord is speaking to you about anything, if you have room, some things that you need to clean out of some rooms of your heart, right now, right now, right here, tonight, just say, Lord, I'm coming to you just the way I am. And you know, Lord, where my heart is. You know what I've been doing. You know what I've been listening to. You know what I've been harboring. And I just ask you, God, not only to forgive me, but to empower me to get that out. Lord, I'm no longer making excuses for myself and my behavior and how I've been treating people, God. I put that before you and I say, Lord, forgive me. Holy Spirit, I need your power to release me. I need deliverance. I need help. I need healing, God. I'm coming to you. I'm crying for it, Lord. And I'm not going to leave until I receive it, Father God. I'll be speaking to you about it until I see it change. Lord, I am no longer satisfied with my life the way it is. And I'm not going to stay in this condition because I'm coming into your presence, Lord. Boldly and with authority, Father, I believe that you've given us power over sin and death. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for changing me from the inside out. Tonight, Lord, right tonight, forgive us, God. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, God, and help us to walk the way you'd have us to walk. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, surate ma febo toka isebo tu mambarete befeba andro tu befabro tu mancandro to koya kaya andro tu befebro tu mancaya. Oh, there's somebody in the room that's been holding bitterness, and you've just said, "Well, you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what they've done to me. You don't understand. I'm the victim here." And God is saying, no, no, no. I was victimized for your sin. I was victimized for your shame. And it's time for you to turn that over to me and don't hold on to the bitterness, but clean that out right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Ora te befamondoro kasakataya. I come against the spirit of suicide in this room in Jesus' name and in this house in Jesus' name. You will not suffer that in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We just call down fire upon every person here right now, every person that's listening right now in the name of Jesus, right here, right now, in this place, God. Consume us with your holiness. We thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. We honor you right now. We honor you right now. Father, we just give you the glory and the honor for what you're doing in us. Help us, Lord, not to leave this place in the same condition. Help us to get on our faces and seek you more than we ever had, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the beginning step. You give your heart completely to Him. I pray that there'll be a day where you'll cry out to God and you'll say, "What must I do to be saved? I see my condition." I pray that that's tonight. And if it is, cry out to Him. He'll touch you. He'll change you. He'll absolutely change your life. Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for tonight. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. And we dedicate, Lord, those of us that are in the room and that are watching, we dedicate ourselves to worship you more passionately when we come together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. In Jesus' name. Come on, buddy.